Hello and welcome to Talk From Superheroes. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Iveney.
And I'm Diana McCollum.
And you're listening to Talk From Superheroes, where every week we discuss a piece of heroic television or film. And this week on the podcast, we are talking about Lightyear.
Lightyear, starring Chris Evans, possibly our first Pixar film. We're not sure, but
we did mean to check that, but we didn't.
It feels like it is, though.
It feels like it is, but it also feels like it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think the only other animateds we've done is like Lego Movie and Batman Lego.
We've done Incredibles.
Oh, damn it.
That just hit me.
We've done Incredibles. Incredibles 2, probably.
Yes. Yeah. So Incredibles we've done. So there we go. I knew there was no way. Yeah.
Andrew knows what he's talking about. All right. So Pixar, we've been here before.
Pixar, we've been around the block before, but we're doing the sequel, prequel, spin-off, in-universe, spinsicle, sideways, prequel.
Origin story, X-Men Origins: Lightyear
is what we're doing this week on the podcast.
Andrew just explained this movie as well as Chris Evans did in that one tweet.
Thank you,
Andrew. You really nailed it at a Chris Evans-esque level.
I've been saying for a while that I am the Chris Evans of explaining Pixar films, and I'm glad that finally more people are comparing me to Chris Evans.
You get that credit.
That feels good.
If you haven't read Chris Evans' tweet explaining this film, it's so funny how wrong it is.
Or is it? But we'll get into that. So with Lightyear, since it is a new film, whenever we talk about a new movie or TV show, we like to give a spoiler-free review. Then we will, after you hear the theme music, get into the spoiler-filled section. So in case you're on the fence about seeing it or just want a taste of the episode before you do, we're going to hit you right now with a spoiler-free review. Let's start with a simple question. Diana, did you like it?
I did like it just fine. I didn't love it. It's far from a love. I really liked the first half. I thought the first half had a lot of energy, really good laughs, a lot of heart, a lot of emotional resonance. I was really vibing with the first half. I don't really think the second half works nearly as well. The emotional stuff gets really muddy. There's no urgency to the plot. It's kind of unclear what we're even trying to do or what even happening. So it really loses steam as it goes, even as it introduces fun characters like Taika Waititi's character and everything. So I'm going to give it a like. It's fine. It doesn't live up to its first half to me. The second half felt like I was like, oh, I want that first half back. There's a very clear differentiation between the halves in the movie and in the vibes. So yeah, I like to find Chris Evans is quite good as Buzz. I think he needs like a little bit peppier of a person to be his like funnier to his straight man, because he's a very good straight man. He's classically Captain America-esque straight man in this. So yeah, it's perfectly serviceable. Not the best ever. Andrew, did you like Lightyear?
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's
not a love, but I really liked it. I do agree with you. It kind of loses a little bit of momentum as the movie goes on. I think there are a few things they could have done to pick up the pacing a little bit, where it does get a little slow and sleepy in the middle. But for the most part, I think it succeeds. I think it's fun. I agree that Evans is a good Lightyear and a good kind of like this interpretation of Lightyear, where it's just got that like that slow speech, Shatner-y old interpretation of space travel, which I think really works. And I think it really works played off of other characters that somewhat kind of mock him for that. So I think he gives a good performance. I think all of the voice actors actually do a really good job of owning their characters. I think there are a few like really fun characters in this that I didn't expect. For something that is an in-universe spinoff of a toy that is anthropomorphized for the movie that the toy is based on, there is more heart and charm to this than I even expected, and does a really good job of telling at least one very heartbreaking story that 100% works in this. And I really respect it for that. So I think it tells a couple of heartbreaking stories. It's got some really fun characters. All the voice actors work. And yeah, just a few pacing issues where it just kind of loses momentum in the middle. But other than that, I was vibing with it.
Oh, I'm glad you were vibing with it a little bit more than me. Yeah, it's like it never fails at anything. But I'm like, oh, it got worse as it went, though. And normally you want your third act to be the best act so you can leave the theater like the whole thing was good. It kind of tricks you.
Right.
But when it's getting less fun as it goes, it's like, oh, it was more fun before.
I agree with you. I think it starts very good and then it does fall back into fine and acceptable. It never gets to bad, but like you want your movie to pick to have an upward momentum throughout it, and it just kind of has the opposite, and it's just a little bit of a buzzkill in that regard.
Buzzkill.
Because that's the name of the character as well.
His name is Buzz.
Buzz. That's a joke Kill they could Lightyear. Have used.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Feels like a thing Zurg would say.
That does feel like a thing they could have done with the villain in this. But anyway, yeah, I like it. I liked it a bit more than you. It got emotions out of me. And like, really, what more can you ask for?
I got some first act emotions.
Yeah.
First act emotions. Pixar is real good at that montage emotions. Ooh, they're experts at montage emotions.
They know how to hit a story quick off the top. You did it again, you sons of bitches. You did it again.
And maybe I felt things.
And maybe a little bit formulaic in that regard, where like there is a bit of a Pixar paint by numbers. There's definitely a formula to their films, and I think this follows it, but there's a warmth to that. And the other question is, can it be spoiled?
A little bit. Mm. Yeah, there's a spoiler in there.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm going to say the big emotional resonance part caught me off guard, and I didn't think that that was going to be the format of this movie and how the story was going to be told.
Okay, maybe two spoilers then.
Yeah, I would say that where the movie got tears out of me, that was the spoiler, and then the conclusion is a bit of a spoiler as well. So surprisingly, for a family animated movie based on the toy from the film Toy Story, there are a few spoilers and surprises along the way.
Yeah, because the toy is like a joke, and this is much more emotional and grounded than the Tim Allen version of I'm a Silly Toy.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so it can be spoiled. And before we get into the spoiler-filled section, we want to thank one of our wonderful sponsors of today's episode. We want to thank our good friends over at TeePublic.com.
TeePublic.com. You're going to want to go to them to get your next favorite t-shirt or a tank top if it's getting hot where you live like it is where we live. And we're hot, but we're also cool in our TeePublic tank tops.
We look cool in our TeePublic tank tops, but it is summertime here in Toronto, and it is soupy outside. It is soupy, and I need some fresh, summery, just kind of vibing at tank tops, and I'm finding it over at teepublic.com. Like the design that I am really enjoying this week, it is called Summer Soldier, and it is a play off of Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier.
My man.
And it's like a fun cartoon, almost like a Clone High style, like animated version of him. And he's got a floaty around his waist. He's got like a super soaker water gun in one arm. He's got a popsicle dripping in the other. This boy is ready for summer. And I just really like it. A really cute, playful, he's the summer soldier. He's ready to party. I get that on a tank top. I'm ready to party too.
It's super fun. And these designs are all made by indie artists. So these are like fans who know what you want. You're going to get a shirt you're looking for, and you get on a tank top, a tee, a hoodie, a sticker, anything you want. My shirt is it's Stranger Things. It is the Demogorgon from Stranger Things, but it's in the style of the Thing poster. So he's got like a big light on his face of the Demogorgon. You can't see what he looks like. It's a really fun mashup. I love a mashup. This one is styling.
That one is styling. Yeah. It's they really nailed the artwork of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, this looks like something you would find in any professional anywhere, and it looks so good. And it's just a fun mashup of two horrific things with the word thing in it.
Horrific. That's a fun word. And they're all well-made, well-priced, shipped right to your doorstep. Lots of variety in color, lots of variety in sizes. Really customizable, really unique, and I love and respect them for it. And all of the designs are submitted by independent artists who are getting a commission for their work. And when you buy something through our store link, you support that independent artist who designed it, and you're also going to directly support this podcast as well. So go check out teepublic.fromsuperheroes.com. That is teepublic.fromsuperheroes.com to have a look at the designs we mentioned and other ones that are in our store and that we recommend, or shop around and check out the whole thing. teepublic.fromsuperheroes.com. Thank you for your support.
Thank you so much, TeePublic, for your support and your tank tops.
And now let's get into the spoiler-filled section of the episode. Let's talk about Lightyear. All right, Well, we have seen Lightyear. I liked it a little bit more than yourself. And I wish we both liked it a little bit more.
I also wish I liked it a little bit more. I always going in wanting to love a movie. I'm looking for my next favorite movie at every turn. Mm-hmm. And I haven't found it this week, unfortunately. And I will also say, I find it very hard to believe that this is Andy's favorite movie. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't think this is any 8-year-old's favorite movie. This movie we just saw.
I'm going to say this instead, all right? Is that I find it hard to believe that the number one selling toy based off of this movie is Buzz and not socks.
It would absolutely be socks. Everyone would want a socks. Yeah, like Buzz would be cool.
Like in Toy Story, Andy has a Lightyear doll, and I believe there is a Zurg as well, the villain of this movie.
I think Zurg's in like two. I don't think he has him in one. But okay, there is a Zurg later.
So there's a Zurg and there's a Buzz in Andy's room. So for those of you who haven't seen it, you know the premise of this movie. It is a spinoff of the film Toy Story. And this is the movie that the toys that Andy has purchased are based on.
Yes. So Andy saw this movie. Yes. And then they made a toy based on this movie, and that's the toy he has.
Yeah.
So this is just a movie in the Toy Story universe.
But in this movie, they have this delightful robot cat character named Sox. And in a classic Disney fashion of not realizing that everyone would definitely want a toy of the cute little creature, like in the fact that, you know, there was no Grogu after the Mandalorian show. They didn't have any alligator Loki ready to go. Disney has no clue when a cute little character is going to pop off.
Who was that, like, in Shang-Chi, that Philip guy? He was like a cushion with no face?
Terrific.
Amazing.
Didn't have that ready to go.
Never seen a thing for him.
So Disney has no idea what cute, adorable little characters are going to pop off. And classic Disney to be like, yep, this is the movie that would have really sold some Lightyear figures. It's like, nah, dog, nah, 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 nah. Sox is, hands down, would be the number one selling, most in demand thing.
Only if every Sox figure came with a free Buzz Lightyear.
You would need, yeah. Yeah. Only in that scenario.
Only in that. Especially because, like, Buzz, as much as he is, like, a space ranger, isn't, like, an action hero in this too much. Like, there's very few action scenes. Like, this is not an Indiana Jones or, like here are a few other movies that were out at the time that could have been Andy's favorite movie. May I hit you with these?
Oh, because in the opening title card,
it's 1995.
They say the year, 1995.
It is 1995.
But now we don't know if they have those movies in the Andyverse.
Well, I'm just going to assume they do. They got like Barbies and stuff.
Sure.
It's not too different.
Okay, lay it on me.
Let's see what we got. We got Bad Boys.
Okay.
Power Rangers.
Sure.
Jumanji.
Yep.
Street Fighter.
Mm.
GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat. Jurassic Park.
Dang.
Other things that are out within that 1 year.
Andy does have dinosaurs. There are dinosaur toys.
They might be Jurassic Park toys.
That could imply a Jurassic Park connection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm just saying that Sox would have been the hot.
Oh, yes.
The hot selling.
Sox is great.
Yes.
Sox is a highlight of this film by far.
Love it. So let's get into like the movie then.
Okay.
So it starts out with like they're space rangers. I guess the implication is we're looking for a new Earth. I guess we've burnt out Earth. Like they never really talk about why there is like Buzz is the captain of this giant egg of a ship that is a section of humankind that is looking to start a new colony on another planet, whether it's exploratory or the Earth is done, they never really get into.
They do not. And I think they call it a turnip, not an egg, the ship over and over again.
I think he calls it a turnip. I'm calling it an egg.
It didn't look that much like a turnip.
Mm.
I agree.
No, and also
I've seen other things that look more like turnips.
And it's meant to land on other planets and breed life. Like that's an egg. It's meant to hatch somewhere.
I get what you're saying. I actually couldn't tell if they were just I didn't think they were a colonization pod. Like because he's like, I have 1,200 scientists all here. So like none of them were colonizers. None of them were people who wanted to farm. He said like they're all scientists.
Right.
And also if they are colonizers, then it just feels like Buzz would not feel so bad about stranding them on a planet they can live on.
He'd
just be like, well, our mission's done. We found a planet. Mm. It's got a lot of vines, but I can live with that. I feel like they were supposed to go home.
Ah, I see what you're saying. I see. In that case, why can't they call home? Like, I feel like you need to have communication of some kind.
I mean, if they can't even get home physically, then maybe they just can't send a signal that far.
Like, that's possible too.
They can't send a signal that fast. They're light years out there.
But either way, I think like the lore and mythos of it, I don't mind that they don't get into it. It's just like there's a turnip that's filled with people. I pilot it. Oops, we're trapped here. And at that point, I'm just kind of like, yeah, who cares? Like, I don't need to. I'm only bringing this up just as like a conversation piece. But in the moment of watching the movie, it doesn't bother me that these things aren't explained. I was having a good time with the opening of this, of like, we're fun. We're exploring. The vines are coming after you. We got to get out of here. And then we crash the ship.
This might have been my favorite part of the movie. Okay. I think this was really fun. Yeah, maybe I just like Buzz a lot more with his original Hawthorne than with granddaughter Hawthorne.
Okay.
I think they have a really fun back and forth. The vines are just so fun. That actually is a big complaint I have about the second half, is that they're still on the same planet, but there's no vines in the second half.
Yeah.
They're going everywhere where there should be vines, no vines anywhere. And I think the vines are so funny. Like when he lands after 4 years and like it just like they just keep getting through the fence and grabbing people.
Yeah.
It's comedy gold. Yeah. More vines, please.
And like everyone's just kind of casual about getting grabbed and snatched up by vines every now and then. I agree. I think they use it maybe once or twice, but way too sparingly. Mm-hmm. Way too sparingly.
So yeah, the first half is peppy and fun. This whole thing about like the rookie needs to be saved and then we got to go back for the rookie and then flying the ship. It's the most high energy. It's the most comedically that works, I think. It's my favorite sequence in the movie.
And I think like the pacing is broken up really well, where it is just like we're a team, some team quips, then some meta comedy about the rookie, then quick action scene. Back to quips, back to action scene. And they just break it up very nicely. It doesn't linger too long in one style of comedy or one style of action. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really well woven for that opening sequence.
Yeah, the opening sequence, it's fun, it pops, and then it hits you hard with the Disney Pixar classic emotional montage, which is going to make you cry. God damn it, Disney Pixar! I don't want to cry. No, I do. I like crying. It's cathartic, but...
That really did rip my heart out, because he crashes the ship and they're trying to get their warp speed working, and he's doing these tests, and due to time dilation, it's a minute for him, and then he comes back on the planet 4 years later, and his friend, Hawthorne, right?
Hawthorne. The Hawthorne Senior, I guess we'll call her.
I guess, yeah, a Hawthorne Senior.
Alicia is the first Hawthorne.
Is aging approximately 4 years every time Buzz does one of these experiments that last only a few minutes or several hours for him. So every day his friend is aging 4 years from his perspective. And we're seeing their entire life play out. And it is very up. It's very the beginning of up to be like, let's watch an entire person's life play out. And in a way that isn't tragic, but it's just like, it's the tragedy of watching someone's life play out at hyperspeed. And it's just the tragedy of beauty. And it's a very clean and simple way of storytelling that's not, I don't know if it is manipulative, but it's manipulative in a way that I welcome and really brought out the tears in me.
It was very emotional. I would actually say in a way it's kind of more like a reverse up. Because up is, here's the story of these two together and their beautiful life. And it's tragic that they had a beautiful life together, like the simplicity and tragedy of a beautiful life. But Buzz is not spending life with his friend. Buzz is missing all these moments with his friend.
Right.
And she's moving on without him. She's having a beautiful, wonderful, rich, full life with her family and getting more promotions and building this colony. And he's missing it and just seeing it in snippets. So whereas in Up, they spend a life together, he has missed spending a life with his friend.
I completely agree with
that. And that makes it way more tragic than Up. Because at least when you watch Up, you're like, they had a whole life together. She didn't like pass away at like 25.
Yeah.
He didn't see his friend for like the last like 50 years of her life.
And I think I was just kind of thinking of it from Hawthorne Senior's perspective of like, we are witnessing a romance. She falls in love with her wife and has a family. And like, I think in that regard, I was thinking of it as Up, but not in terms of Buzz's perspective. The addition of this outlier looking at this person looking in at it, it does add a big sense of tragedy to it. And it's incredibly sad, where it's like he doesn't want to give up on the mission and he keeps doing the thing and he's missing out on everything. And it's very heartbreaking. And I think it works really well for the theme of this movie, which is to like welcome people into your life, ask for help, and be part of something. And Buzz is so focused on the mission, he's not part of anything. And it's the tragedy of like looking in at that, and then also the tragedy of like missing out on what you could do with the help of others.
Yeah, there is some. This movie might have too many themes for Buzz, but that is my favorite one of like you have to live the days you're given and the life you're given. You can't just keep looking forward and keep trying to fix what you have right now.
Yeah.
Or you will have no life. It will completely pass you by. You'll be part of nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a great lesson that Buzz learns, and it's really, really shown through the montage with Hawthorne Senior.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I will give kudos to Disney. I thought this was going to be easily cuttable that there was a gay kiss in this movie, but that's pretty vital and like. You can't cut the montage.
Yeah.
And the wife's in every shot.
This is a same-sex relationship that is plot integral and not cuttable. And that is, it should be normalcy, but it's remarkable that it is there because so many times Disney has given us as viewers the fake-out to be like, there's totally gay stuff in this one. It is 12 frames, and it was edited in almost every country. But legally, these characters are gay.
First gay character from Disney and Pixar. Yeah.
So
many of them.
This was one of the few times where it actually felt like load-bearing and not specifically written to be deleted, which a lot of the relationships in Disney stuff has felt, where it's like you wrote it to be deleted, not to be there.
Yeah, like I think, what are the other ones? Beauty and the Beast, the sidekick of Gaston, he just dances with a guy, but that's easily cuttable. Yeah. Jungle Cruise, McGregor like has one line with The Rock and like easily cuttable.
Yeah,
there was
one same-sex kiss in Star Wars.
Oh yes,
that was in fact characters cut.
With no names.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But this is like the montage won't even work without these scenes.
Right.
And you know what? This is such a small thing. My favorite thing that they did actually with this, though, was when Buzz comes back from 4 years and Hawthorne has an engagement ring on, he says, "What's her name?" And he knows that she's a lesbian.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why, but like establishing that like I feel like every other movie would have been like, "What's his name?" And you would open the door to reveal a woman.
Oh, okay.
It seems like what every other movie would do, like especially a Disney movie, like, oh, whoa, but like Buzz.
Doesn't this defy expectation?
But I love that Buzz knows his best friend is gay, as he would, and he's just like, oh, what's her name? Like, just assume she's dating a woman because he knows she's into ladies. And I think that was actually my favorite part of it.
Yeah, that is very nice, too.
That it wasn't like a big joke reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, no, people like people.
Oh, and then when he walks into that empty office.
Oh, no!
Fuck!
Oh, no!
Oh, my God. Oh, so he's missing all these years and years until his friend gets old. And then it just reaches a point where he comes back and walks into an empty office. And, like, that just shattered me. And it's like, you know it is coming. Like, we are, and I would say even your non-media savvy audience members are like, I know what is about to happen. And there's only one conclusion that this can go to. But just the visual metaphor of a stark, empty room just hitting you with it immediately is, I think that was a very powerful visual and a very smart execution of that scene. It hits really hard.
Yeah, it hits really hard because it's like your friend is gone and every piece of her is also gone. Like it's all been wiped away. Like it's not even a room full of her stuff that she just isn't in it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just a completely empty room. It's like, where did it all go? Yeah, it's... Oh,
That's a tough one.
They hit you hard off the top on these Disney Pixar movies.
Yeah. And at that point in the movie, that was really emotional. It was really powerful. It was a slower section of the movie, but slower in a way that worked.
Oh, absolutely like, fine with that.
A payoff that was 100% worthwhile. You know, the opening action sequence, it's like we've got quips, we've got humor, we've got meta comedy about the big eyes and then the cut with the twinkle and then an action scene and then this slowdown and emotional thing. And then I think the movie tries to get back to where it was at the very beginning. It tries to get back into, let's tell some jokes, let's have some action, let's keep things moving, let's have a little fun. And I think it just takes way too long to get back there. Like, it doesn't feel like the second act of the movie. It feels like the slow first act of a different movie, where, like, it really needs to be, like, Buzz then steals a plane, goes for one last mission, he comes back, and it's like, who are you? You're Hawthorne's granddaughter. Okay, what is your story? Oh, you're in the reserves. These other people are rejects. I deny you, you come back. I deny you, you come back. And it takes way too long to get to a rapport joke per minute. And I feel like the movie really needs to get there way quicker if it's trying to recreate the charm and charisma of what the movie was at the start.
Yeah, there is a very weird disconnect where you, I feel like you think you're in Act Two and you're not. Because he lands, and it's only been 4 years, but now Hawthorne Sr. has died, and there's a new guy in control, and he's going to cut down the mission. And Buzz decides to go one more time. So he goes one more time, and he comes back, and now it's been 22 years instead of four. And it's just kind of jarring. You're like, well, that's a different story. 22 years is, like, too long. Like, every 4 years, you're like, okay, you can lose 4 years. Like, it sucks, but you can lose 4 years. And then the 22-year jump is kind of just like, that's a different movie.
Yeah.
Like an entire city will change in 22 years. People forget who you are. People you know do pass away. Like, you just expect them to, not just like they might in 4 years. So yeah, it's a bit too much. I actually like, yeah, there's so much happening in Act Two in the second half of this movie that it's like, it's so muddy for me. I really don't like how often Buzz kind of flip-flops on the new people.
Okay.
He very much is like, I don't want to work with rookies. And then, like, he's like, I'll go into your little bubble and I'll help you when they get in the security thing. And then he's like, no, but I don't want to work with rookies. And then he's like, no, but we're a team. And then Hawthorne Jr. does a mistake and he's like, oh, you're rookies again. And it's so much flip-flopping. I was like, when do you learn the lesson that rookies are okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I need you to, like, decide when the lesson's been felt.
It needs to be a cleaner second act of I don't work with rookies. You've proven yourself, and then maybe one big failure going into the third act, and then that's it. Like, it needs to be a lot cleaner in the second one.
Although I will say they did a good job of having continually reasons why the rookies have to keep coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, we forgot our keys. You don't know where the depot is, where the ships are. Like, so, like, he genuinely does want to get rid of them. The movie does come up with good reasons that he can't get rid of them.
I agree with that. I think my biggest problem with the second act, with the middle portion of this movie, I'd say, is the humor isn't fast-paced enough. It just doesn't have the jokes per minute. And I think the humor works, but I think where the biggest problem lies is that the jokes in kind of the opening section are kind of fast and moving a bit quicker or happening in the background because Buzz is doing, like Chris Evans is doing this somewhat Shatner-y or at least in his more hammy because he narrates to himself and he's like, mission log. And he's doing it slow and purposeful. And it gets a little bit faster when he's in casual moments, but it's still very slow and purposeful. And it is a calmer pace. And in that first act where it works, there is the Hawthorne is faster telling you more. We've got the rookie. We've got a visual gag. There's the thorns are doing stuff in the background. The vines are grabbing. It's quick, quick, quick to contrast his slow and methodical I'm Buzz Lightyear. But then when we get this new crew, their jokes are slow. And they're funny jokes, but their jokes are slow. Like we have like this old pensioner who's like, I'm on parole, not allowed to use a gun. Is that a gun over there? And that is funny, but when your lead straight man is also the guy who's just like, can you pick up that gun?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't have slow meet slow. And then even Taika's character, who's also giving a great performance of the like, I don't want to be here. I was going to quit.
I'm a little bumbly, but not very fast-paced bumbly.
And yeah.
And it took me like three bumbles to even be like, oh, you're bumbly.
The bumbles are too far between.
It wasn't immediately clear that your character trait was bumbly, because like anyone could just not be able to find the harpoons.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even like there is the robot we abandon, but the robot who's giving slow directions.
Yes.
So now we've introduced four characters. We have our slow, stoic hero who worked in the first act against fast-paced visual comedy, who now has four slow-paced, long-burn joke sidekicks. And that pacing just doesn't work. We need the jokes per minute up. It needs to be snippier.
You're really right about long burn. Yes, very much. Because Socks is the only one doing any straight comedy for the second half. Mm-hmm. And Socks is doing a great job. Socks is wonderful.
Socks is funny within 1 second. Like yes. Even just by design, where it's like, hey, Socks, can you scan something? And a scanner comes out. And even the
meow,
fact that
meow, meow.
Going meow, saying meow, or just like meow, 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 meow. Like a human saying meow is the funniest shit. That is the joke per minute that really works. And I think a couple more people in the crew need to be that.
Yeah, like there's a couple fun, quick jokes. Like the pen really got to me. I really liked the pen joke. I don't know why.
The pen works.
The pen really works. And I will say, for the one action scene that works is when he finds out that they're junior rangers and like, who's got harpoons and I'm not allowed to use a gun? And he's like being dragged off by a robot. I actually think that one works because there is a nice hectic feeling to this one sequence of him learning what their traits are, finding out he's working with rookies, just being like, what? You're how old? You're how young? You don't have any harpoons? You're on parole? Like a lot of information comes at him really fast. So then like that one sequence was very, very fun. But then just like going through the desert, we're in this car and now this car is broken and now we have to fix this car. And there's not enough enemies and urgency. This movie lacks urgency.
It definitely lacks
there
urgency.
There is no urgency in the second half. It's kind of like, we can just do it whenever.
Yeah,
we can go up to that ship and blow it up whenever we get up there.
Like, we don't want to die on the way, but other than that, if we keep living, this will resolve itself. We will resolve it at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I can fully agree with that.
But yeah, one more character who was a little bit peppier, a little bit funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah, a
little bit more traditional Pixar. You know, a little bit more like Pixar is typically very smart in this to be like, we've got archetypes of characters and we're going to have maybe a dumb, fast-paced one. Like Nemo doesn't work without Dory. Mm. Like we need like, and Taika is very funny, but it's like we need that character to be 200% more Taika. Like we need that character to be like, where's the harpoons? I don't have harpoons. What are we doing over there? I've never used this weapon before. Not even certified. Ho ho, whoa, that's bad. Like you need it to be 200% more, and that sells the scared or the lead character that's trying to accomplish something.
It needs to be more, or that character needs to be the second lead. Because yeah. Right now, the main character is Buzz, the second character is Hawthorne Jr., who is optimistic and, like, you know, fun in her own way, but is not a comedic character.
Yeah.
So your two leads in the second half are non-comedic characters. Mm-hmm. And your only really funny person, Taika, is way in the background.
Yes. Yeah. Lovely Taika. But
we love Taika.
You always need more Taika. It's a hot Taika year.
Oh, hot Taika summer.
Hot Taika summer. Thor 4, more Thor. We've got this. We watched Our Flag Means Death earlier the year. Like, hot Taika summer.
Coming in hot with the Taika.
Well, let's take a quick break in the podcast to thank our other wonderful sponsor of today's episode. We want to thank our friends over at NordVPN.
We love NordVPN. If you don't know what a VPN is, it changes your IP location so you can access content in other countries or just protect your own content from hackers and people trying to get in at your stuff.
Absolutely. You're protected and all. You're dipping, diving, you're ducking, you're dodging.
One's getting you.
People aren't getting at you, or you're getting to where you want to be for the regionally locked content, which can be incredibly frustrating and is becoming more and more common as well. Like there are times now where like it used to be just like certain companies would block content. Now like there are times where I can't see a tweet and it's like you're not allowed to see this tweet in your country. I'm like, what are we doing? This is social, like, just let me see the thing. But then I go over to NordVPN. It's incredibly easy to use. You can connect with one click, or you can enable auto connection, and then it's literally no clicks.
No clicks, and you're protected, or you need to see whatever you want to see.
Between 0 to 1 steps, which is really, I can't think of a fewer number of steps to get you to a VPN.
Yeah, they have 5,500 servers in 60 countries, so whatever you need. We use our VPN literally weekly because we love basketball, and we don't get it all in Canada because we only got that one team. So if we want to watch like other games that aren't Toronto, we have to use our VPN. And we're like, thank you, Nord. We love basketball.
Thank you. And as well, you can have it on up to 6 devices. So you can have it on every major platform, Windows, Android, iOS, Mac, Linux, your Android TV, whatever it is, it's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. It's going to have amazing speed. And we highly recommend it. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/TFS to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus free threat protection and one additional month for free. It's completely risk-free with NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/TFS. And thank you, NordVPN, for your support.
Thank you, Nord. Now, there is one scene I'm conflicted on, because I actually think it has, like, a lot of heart and a lot of humor, and there's, like, nice stuff happening, but it really does slow down the whole second half, and it is the scene with the sandwiches. The meat sandwich scene.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm with you. I think it's wildly funny.
It's very funny.
And I think it would be the funniest scene if they did what we were talking about a moment ago. If this act was way faster paced.
It's a very it's so slow funny scene.
And I think it's so funny to slow down and really do a sketch to be like, this is, we are going to really do as much comedy as we can, slow paced with one joke. It's really funny in contrast if you've been doing fast jokes per minute. But that section hadn't been fast enough for that to be really funny.
But on paper, like, it really works. Like, and also the jokes are very funny. Like, he's like the meat's on the outside, but your fingers get all wet. And Tiger's like, yeah, juicy fingers.
And I'm juicy fingers are the best part.
And then they think the idea of bread as bread is, like, terrible. It'd be so dry. Like, and this, and
the
it also,
old woman just going, that's too much bread.
That's too much bread.
You can't have that much bread. How often would you do this?
And it did, it also was like, it was almost a nice highlight of how long Buzz had been gone, because he'd only been gone 22 years, and they all acted like this had always been the way of meat on the outside.
It's at least 2 generations of a society that has grown up on a completely fresh human society.
He was here 22 years ago.
I don't know if maybe he didn't have a sandwich.
Flights, he just wasn't keeping track of, like, I guess he didn't seem to stay long.
Yes, he was here 22 years ago. He has been in this society for a total of 4 days, only having the bare-bone microwave dinners. Mm. To the point where even Hawthorne Sr. offered him a meal, or I think, like, the cat offered him a snack or something. He was like, no, I only want to stay on the nutritional astronaut guideline of the bare minimum. Mm. So he's just eating nutrition cubes.
Yeah, the meat that was a triangle was actually quite funny. Yeah. Just like no bone, just a triangle of meat.
Just pizza boxes that say breakfast, lunch, dinner that you shake and crack like a glow stick to make it heat. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, he is not gone. He's been here for 4 days and he has not gone off course of the bare nutritional astronaut diet of pre-made meals.
But yeah, but it's a funny scene with, like, it really shows how much he's not part of the society, how much he's gone, and is funny.
Yeah.
I will be a little bit nitpicky now for a moment. If they use meat as bread, which is the meat is the outside.
Yeah.
Then these would have been called bread sandwiches. They would not have been called meat sandwiches, because that would be every sandwich.
Because
the bread's inside the meat.
Ah, that's a good point. Because then
it would have said a bread sandwich.
No, because what if the middle is always meat or always bread? The middle's always bread. The outside on this one is meat, so it's called a meat sandwich. But then maybe you could get what are other types of sandwich?
like a double down, like chicken's a meat though. Chicken's a meat.
Yeah, but you don't call a chicken sandwich a meat sandwich. That would be a chicken. So maybe you can get a chicken sandwich that's chicken on the outside. You know what I mean?
Mm. Maybe so bread's always on the inside.
Bread's always on
the inside. So now the standard of sandwich is bread's on the inside.
You can get a vegetarian sandwich and it's lettuce on the outside, but bread is always in the middle. So I think bread is the standard.
So they've completely flipped the idea of sandwiches.
Absolutely.
Literally inside out.
Literally inside out.
Hmm. I might accept this, yes. But I stand by...
I also love how you use the double down as an example that has flipped the sandwich in our current society.
I actually, well, even as I say that, as someone who's never eaten a double down, I don't know what's in between the chickens in a double down.
Is it bread? I don't think it's bread.
I don't think it's bread. That's why I'm saying that.
I think it's just other shit. I think the chicken is the bread, and then there is no bread.
I don't know what's in a double down.
I don't know what's in a double down.
We're sorry people who... If you enjoy a double down, what's in between the two chickens?
What is in between there?
Is it just one piece of lettuce and some mayonnaise?
It's just
mayonnaise
a void.
And lettuce and two chickens.
That's all you need. But I like the meat sandwich scene and having a slow conversation about that.
Juicy Fingers was the only time I believed there was a new complete society on this planet.
Yeah.
Like Juicy Fingers as like, it's just a saying. Everybody knows. It's a thing that's come to life on this planet.
I love
in
getting
this culture.
Juicy Fingers.
You know, everybody gets your Juicy Fingers when you eat your meat sandwich.
Love it.
So the meat sandwich scene conflicted on. Because yeah, it was funny, but it didn't, but it really slowed everything down in the middle of this. It was too slowly paced, but it could have been a real banger of a scene.
I think one of my favorite quick jokes, like Sox is by far the funniest character in this movie and is, as we mentioned a minute ago, the exact speed of humor that this movie needs to complement Buzz.
Yeah. When Sox like darts somebody, he's like, you got 5 minutes.
I was just about to say that's my favorite.
It's such a good runner too.
But on top of that, when Sox darts someone and Lightyear goes, was that for me? The avoidance of eye contact and just, you got 5 minutes. Not answering the question is the funniest possible and the fastest way to tell the joke as well. That's what I like about it is the absence of the line is the joke and it's the fastest to joke possible timing. And I love the speed at which Sox is telling jokes.
Sox tells them at a great speed. This brings up several questions for me when we find out that Sox was basically built and programmed by Hawthorne Sr. Because I'm like, so you put the darts in Sox to shoot Buzz? So like that's how well she knew you that he's like, he's going to need to be sedated every now and then.
At some point he might go off the deep end.
He gets to be a bit much, Sox. Mm-hmm. And if he does, shoot him with his dart. I'm like, that's a good friend? Question mark? I'm giving you a robot that will secretly sedate you?
Sometimes you need to be sedated. You know?
Don't let him leave for 22 years. Sedate that man.
Buzz is living a might need to be sedated kind of lifestyle. That's just kind of his thing.
That's his thing.
Now, how do you feel about the villain turn of this movie? So Zurg, who, as far as this society thinks, is a big robot with a robot army from space, and all the robots only say Zurg, and it is invading their thing. Zurg turns out to be an alternate timeline Buzz.
I hate this. I hate this so much. It makes the movie suck. It makes the movie so slow and have nothing to do. Like, you can't fight this guy. He's you. Mm-hmm. We can't just be like, like, it should just be an evil robot. Like, I'm so sick of the bad guy is you from the future. We've seen it. Like, Lego Movie 2 just did it. The Flash TV show did it. Like, I don't like it. And it makes me feel like the hero is a bad person. I'm like, oh, so you're just going to go evil in like 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for that. And we have proof. This isn't even like someone saw a vision. Like, it's like, you're right there and you're evil.
Yeah.
You're right there. I hate this. I hate the villain is you from the future.
I think it definitely doesn't work in a family rate, in a G-rated property, because to do that, you need to create a level of distance between the alternate self and the villain self and the hero self, right? Like, you can do it in like a show like Orphan Black, where it's like about like these clones have had wildly different lives, and some of the more murderous ones have only known murder their entire life. And while they are you, you have to sympathize with what it is that they've had to go through. Whereas this is a Buzz that has had 50% of the exact same life, which really shows that Buzz is a hair distance away from full villainy. And that's too close to be for, like, it makes both our hero unsympathetic and also the villain unlikable. Like, it's the exact wrong amount for everything.
Yeah, it really does need to be a version of Buzz who went through something terrible and different and very divergent.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think we also had this complaint, like, not, I won't talk about it too long, but, like, in the Flash season when they did this, like, Barry went evil because Iris died. And I'm like, that's all it takes? It should take way more.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be, I mean, Iris is cool, but...
Yeah, and the implication is like, I love her a lot. And it's like, I guess don't destroy everyone.
Yeah, her life shouldn't be keeping the universe in balance to keep you.
And in this scenario, it is like, I tried to help and now I don't care about listening to other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be like, I won't accept help. And now it is, I won't accept feedback, which is a very different thing, or I won't accept the value of human life, which is a huge leap. And I think that without it, if it was just a big robot, let's say it's not Buzz from the future, I still think the movie had earned its theme at that point. Like, its theme of if you go down this path of I have to fix everything myself and I can't accept anyone's help is a sad and lonely path, and you're missing out on a potential life and a potential family, and you're missing out on what actually makes what you're trying to save special. I think the movie had gotten there and earned that theme and earned that turn from the character, that it earned an ending where Buzz asks for help and where Buzz wants to be part of something. It had earned it without seeing the literal manifestation of Buzz's worst possible traits.
Yeah, he'd definitely already gotten there. He'd spent like 45 minutes and three adventures with these people already. He had agreed to help them when he went into like the little shield tubes. Like, they already had worked as a team. They had done several things as a team altogether. Yeah, we did not need this weird convoluted, how are there even two Buzzes storyline about about a slightly different him from the future. Not different enough.
No.
It didn't add anything. It just kind of made me go, what? Where'd the momentum of this movie go? Like, I want to see you fight a giant robot.
Yeah, all I need is a giant robot.
Like, and this is another thing that bothers me for the tie-in of Toy Story. Because, like, knowing Zurg is just Buzz from the future, like, if you buy a Zurg toy and you're Andy, you're not like, the evil Emperor Zurg. You're like, other Buzz. Like, it ruins the fun of a Zurg toy.
Yeah.
There's no way you're like, go Buzz, fight other Buzz.
That's no fun. It's a weird buzzkill adult theme that does not move toys in any way.
No, Zurg toys would just be sitting on that shelf. Oh, yeah. Man, no one's touching those.
Whereas, even though this is kind of a slower, quieter, you know, definitely G-rated and I think relatively appropriate for a family of any age, but it is kind of slower and quieter and I think geared more towards adults. If you do make it just a robot, I think it then skews right back into being way more appealing for kids all of a sudden.
Yeah, because robots are fun. Like, G-rated action scenes are easier with robots because you can just shoot them. It's not like there's blood or injuries or people really die. They're robots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get attached to ones that actually talk, like Socks and stuff. But he's fine. You don't touch Socks.
Yeah.
But you could blow up Zurg. Like, we killed old Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Because the eyes light up at the end, or whatever. Yeah, but so still,
it's a G-rated movie. You can't kill him. But yeah, just let there be a bad guy. Like, not. I know Pixar like loves humanizing and empathizing and redemption and very emotional things. I think you could just make a fun movie though about an evil robot.
You can just make a robot.
You can just make a robot who's like, hey, we saw you in hyperspeed, and we want that crystal. Mm-hmm. That seems cool.
Yeah, give me that. Give me
that.
I've been looking for a hyperspeed crystal, and I received, you know, like I my deep space scans received that you were running tests, and I've been looking for someone who has a hyperspeed crystal.
And now I'm here to get your hyperspeed crystal. That's all this plot needs. And he still has to ask for help. He still needs his team. It does not need to be another Buzz.
No. Yeah. I think it hammers home a point that has already been earned. And I get that maybe when you're trying to make something a family movie or a G-rated movie or something for kids, that you need to make the theme a little bit more obvious, a little bit more literally a physical manifestation of the theme. But I think it's even too much even for that. Like,
I think it's muddier because it's Buzz. I think if it was just an evil bad guy, it would be like, ah, okay, he overcame that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have to just overcome himself.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think we're both on the same page there.
I will say a thing that felt, it is G-rated, but a thing that, you know when you're watching like a kid's movie and you're like, this is going to be traumatizing. Like, if you were a kid, it's Hawthorne's fear of space.
Because
it also made me a little scared of space. When she jumps out and then the ship moves and she's like, you'll just float forever. And she's now missed the ship. My heart nearly leapt out of my chest with fear. And I'm like, this is traumatizing children right now.
I fully agree. Because
this is now like a focal point of fear for hundreds, if not thousands, of children in the world.
I think it wasn't traumatizing until they did that exact. Because
the moment.
Like, I'm afraid of space. It's, you know, like, we're in a fun, playful universe. No one's really gotten harmed. You don't need to be, like, I get being afraid of space, but this is not a world where you're going to be afraid of space. They got crazy light speed technology. No one's going to get hurt. But yeah, when that ship moves and the movie goes full gravity for a second, where I'm like, this is Sandra Bullock panicked to live. Like,
and she's desperately trying to grab the things and
holy
socks.
Shit.
And socks floats away.
Holy shit. That is traumatizing.
Yeah. It's like watching the horse die in Neverending Story. It was right up there.
And I would say even following that up, maybe a more lighthearted trauma, but still a trauma that they hit you with.
Hit me with some lighthearted trauma.
Is when parallel timeline Buzz murders Sox and yells traitor while he does it? What the fuck was that? Like, the fun character, the funnest character in the whole fucking movie, the one that every kid is for sure going to love and relate to and want to hold and care and be friends with. And now this is one from an alternate timeline that then tranks that Buzz and is like, I don't like him. You're great. We're friends. Crushed to death while the robot Buzz from the future yells, traitor. Oh my, you can't do that.
I mean, I guess the thought process was we have another Sox, but still, that was a cool Sox. That wasn't like a too far gone Sox. He'd turn back to you.
Have multiple Soxes still alive at the end.
You
and
can
then
sell,
kids will want to buy two Sox.
You can get the full edition Sox and the eye missing Sox, two different Sox. It's like you're bad at selling toys, Disney.
Absolutely.
Why aren't you better at this by now?
Good at traumatizing kids, bad at selling toys.
Oh, Sox.
Yeah, I agree. The space moment was quite troubling, and I found the Sox moment troubling as well.
I will also, here's my final negative, I think. I was also very annoyed and upset with Buzz that he made all of his friends the first Space Rangers. Do not approve. You know what? You have to look at everyone's application, Buzz. I'm sorry. You can't just hire your friends. It's favoritism. It's nepotism. All these other guys worked really hard to be Space Rangers. They were just trapped under a dome, and that's not their fault.
Yeah.
Do not approve. Super mad at Buzz, actually.
Yeah, they might have been fighting really hard trapped under that dome, fighting robots the whole time, you know?
Because they also have trained really hard. They're fully, like, trained soldiers. They're ready to go, and you're like, fuck all you guys.
Yeah.
And also, your team shouldn't be three rookies and a senior, man.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely
not. You can have Hawthorne.
Yeah? Okay, yeah. Hawthorne you can have. There's so many variations of that works, where, like, Hawthorne is now, like, the leader training new Rangers, and maybe those three are part of the group. But just to be straight in, full approved, no one else gets a chance, like, they get to be in the program, or they get to run the training program.
Yeah, something like that. Because they also weren't even, like, prejudiced against earlier. Like, they were Junior Rangers. It's not even, like, three people who wanted to be Rangers but weren't allowed to train for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, they were fully training for it. Or at least Probation Girl probably didn't want to. She was just doing her probation. But,
yeah,
like, Hawthorne was, like, going to be allowed in the program when she was old enough. So it's not like he's, like, uprooting any kind of like system that any system of prejudice or anything. He's just like making a new system of prejudice.
Yeah.
He's like, these guys are my favorite.
Yeah, I just let my friends in.
And it kind of felt honestly like backtracking on Buzz's part, because the movie kept saying he doesn't like rookies, but I actually think Buzz doesn't like change.
Interesting. Okay.
Because, like, he wants to work with Alicia, his friend. And, like, whenever he thinks Hawthorne Jr. is Hawthorne Sr., he works better with her. He's like, ah, you're this person. And also, like, he doesn't like socks at first. But as he comes home once a day for 24 years, he gets to learn socks better and, like, appreciates him. So I don't even get the impression that he doesn't like rookies. He feels like a man who doesn't like change.
Mm.
He's like, oh, no, this sandwich is meat.
Right.
But he has to, like, learn to take a bite of it and accept it. And it doesn't feel like it's about rookies.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it can be a little cloudy, as much as I praise the theme, because I do think it works. But it is somewhere on this Venn diagram of a couple of adjacent themes of not liking change, like you're saying, of wanting to work alone, of learning to ask for help. And there's like a few things that are like, they're all related and interconnected, but it could easily kind of tip over to a slightly adjacent theme.
And there's also other themes like let go of your mistakes, live in the moment, learn to trust people. There's a lot of little themes kind of piling up here. But mostly I'm still just mad that like all those people who trained really hard didn't even get to apply. Like you would hear from someone's lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, this is discrimination.
You can't do this. You absolutely can't do this.
You're going to court, Buzz. I would take Buzz to court.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let people apply for jobs.
Yep.
Very upset. Not a hero. Would not be buying this man's toy. I'm Andy in the theater. I'd be like, oh, no.
Going right to the Disney store, looking for the sock store.
Looking for the sock store. So you're telling me I trained for 15 years to be a space ranger, worked real hard, was under the dome, was fighting those robots. This man shows up and says, I cannot apply?
Yeah.
Because his friends get to go?
I'm letting this senior citizen do it.
Who doesn't want to be here?
No. Upsetting.
Infuriating.
Upsetting.
They're going to die off that planet.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where they're going, but... they're gonna die.
He trusts the autopilot now, so we're fine.
He does trust the autopilot now.
I guess we're fine, but I don't know. But with its flaws, though, I still think that the movie holds enough value because of that, because of the hard cry it got from me of the first act of showing like the time lapse of a person's life from the outside in. And I do think that Sox is a really funny, really charming character.
Chef's kiss to Sox.
And I think that maybe, like, yeah, the jokes per minute are a bit light, but everyone does a good voice performance. I think that there's a lot of good stuff in this movie, and I had a good time with it. I don't think I'll seek it out again, but I wouldn't be opposed to watching it again.
I also had a good time with it. I think the flaws are easier to discuss, and the things that are good just kind of, like, wash over you. I was like, Pixar's good at that.
I feel that.
So it's like it's harder to discuss in depth. So like, yeah, I maybe felt like I ragged on it a bit too much, but yeah, it's a fun time. The first half I thoroughly enjoyed until he got 22 years.
Yeah.
Until the 22 year jump, I was like, I'm loving this movie. It's fast, it's peppy, I'm having a good time. And then it just kind of fell off because I hated Evil Buzz. Hated that.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? So now that we've discussed what we've discussed, what would you change about this movie if you could change anything? Before we do ask that final question, we will remind you, our wonderful listeners, as we do every week, if you've already done this, feel free to skip ahead. If you haven't, stick around. That's your obligation, because we need you to take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a rating and a review and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already.
Wherever you get them. If you use some kind of podcatcher we've never heard of, also leave one there. Don't trust our list. Trust yourself.
Yeah, trust your own list. Wherever it is, leave a little review. It helps us move up the charts. It helps us get recommended to new listeners. And then when potential new listeners find and discover our show, they have a look at the reviews, they have a look at the rating, and it makes it more likely they're actually going to hit subscribe and become listeners and hang out themselves, which is what we want. It's a free way, a free thing you can do to help support us, to help us grow and expand. And while you're there, do it for a couple of your favorite podcasts, because I know that every podcast asks you to do this because it is important to every podcaster in your life.
Everyone you listen to needs this. They will love it. You will send everyone you like a little email. They'll get it, and they'll be like, woohoo! 5-star review. And it can say noise. It can say we're plates of soup. It can say to infinity and beyond, a thing we didn't even discuss.
Yeah. It works as a catchphrase in this movie.
Oh, it works.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, we didn't really discuss it, but it works.
I mean, it makes a toy work.
No, yeah, yeah. To infinity and beyond. It works. Leave that as a review. It's a free way to support the show. Tell your friends about us. Share online on your social media as well. Word of mouth is a great way for us to find new listeners. And if you want to support the show monetarily and get cool bonuses for doing so, you can check us out over on Patreon, which is a monthly subscription service where you can subscribe at whatever level you can afford, and you get different levels of bonuses depending on how much you're kicking in, but you're not locked in. You can cancel, you can change, you can unsubscribe, you can go lower, you can go higher depending on your budget on any given month. It's a pretty cool system.
It's a pretty cool system. If you really like us, you can sign up for a whole year at once and you get a month free. And that's really fun. You get extra content. You get text from superheroes a day early. At the $10 level, you get extra episodes of this podcast. I think I just checked and there's 80 episodes now.
That sounds about right.
So there's 80 extra ad-free episodes of Talk from Superheroes waiting for you on Patreon, of topics we never cover on the regular podcast. This month we did Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yes, we did.
Real fun.
Real fun.
Ooh, that's a peppy comedy.
Now that is a peppy joke per minute comedy.
That is a moving comedy. Mm-hmm. That is going. We had a really fun talking about that. And speaking of Taika, last month we did our Flag Means Death.
Yes. That's some real good Taika over there.
So Hot Taika Summer, we cover it all.
Hot Taika Summer, you can get it over on the Patreon. That is patreon.com/FromSuperheroes, patreon.com/FromSuperheroes. Head over there, have a look at the bonuses, have a look at the episodes. If it's in the budget, hit us up. And also, if you can just even kick in a buck a month, if that's in the budget just because you want to support us, that's super appreciated and literally changes our lives. So check it out, patreon.com/FromSuperheroes. That's patreon.com/FromSuperheroes. And now let's ask the final question of what would you change? Diana, what would you change?
My big main change is that Zurg is just a robot. Zurg is not Buzz. Also, I forgot to mention this. The word Buzz doesn't sound like Zurg. That explanation for why the robots say that is dumb. Not even similar.
Not even similar.
They just both have
Zeds. Yeah.
So Zurg is just a robot. He detected that like he had a hyperspace crystal that he hasn't been able to make, but he had like 22 years to detect it, if that's how long Buzz is going around the sun. So he came to get it. Zurg does want to time travel, and he offers Buzz the ability to time travel still and fix his mistake. So he's still presented with the same kind of options, but now it's just an evil robot you're allowed to blow up. It doesn't need to be you. It can still be a robot who just wants to time travel. So this is my biggest change. My smaller change that I actually think will help a lot is I'm going to add some urgency to this whole thing with a countdown. Sox is going to scan the laser shield around the town, and it's going to go down in 2 hours.
Easy. Oh, that's so clear and easy.
The robots are shooting the laser shield openly when we see them. They've been shooting it for like a week, according to Hawthorne Jr.
Shield energy should decrease over time.
You can't just live forever, because the shield is just meant to keep out vines. It's not meant to keep out robots that are attacking. It was built for vines. So it's definitely going to go down eventually. So Sox scans it and he says, that shield's going to go down in 2 hours. So now we have 2 hours to blow Zurg up. And it's going to move us along at a faster pace. Sox is going to constantly mention how much time we have left. And then robots are going to invade the town. And that is my urgency adder, which I actually think might be more important than not making Zurg be Buzz.
Interesting.
So that's my change.
I like this a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Andrew, what would you change?
That's brilliant. I'm 100% down for that. All of that. 100%. My change? Have fun with this format.
Yeah.
This is a movie that takes place within the universe of another movie, and they never have fun with it. To the point that the opening title card is the only thing that acknowledges that this is a movie within the Toy Story universe. I think because it was never intended from the script phase, and they didn't realize later, they're like, we need to find some reason this exists, so let's put up a title card at the beginning that says, this is Andy's favorite movie. But if it's a movie that exists within the Toy Story universe, I want there to be fake previews before the movie.
Ooh.
Like a preview for a Woody TV show or like a car commercial with like the spring pig or whatever. Do silly shit to lighten up the mood of this movie. Have a fake if like things are bogged down in Act 2, it gets slow and it needs a little bit of a pep. Have a fake intermission where Mr. Potato Head is talking about going to the concession stand. Like, do charming shit like the way that, like, Lord Miller does the fake Jump Streets at the end of 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do meta jokes because you have that opportunity. The way Edgar Wright in Scott Pilgrim has a bunch of fake movies that star Chris Evans. Why are there not fake trailers? Why is there not a fake intermission? There is nothing that plays with the format of this existing. And even the, like, I mean, obviously the more adult version of that is Rodriguez and Tarantino and Grindhouse, all the fake movie trailers, like Machete with Danny Trejo, which became a real movie because it was such a fun, wild, weird thing to do. Do that. I want to see Mr. Potato Head. I want to see the Slinky Pig guy. I want to see the dinosaurs. I want to see Woody. And also, Pixar movies are known for having shorts at the beginning of them, which doesn't have.
No shorts.
The fact that this is an expanded universe movie that doesn't have a short.
It doesn't even have, like, Woody and Buzz going to watch Lightyear.
There's so much fun shit you could do. And they don't do it because clearly I think they didn't know from a script phase why this movie exists until right before they ship the movie and they put in a black title card.
They saw Chris Evans' bad explanation and they were like, we need a better explanation. That tweet did not do it.
Yeah, but that's what I want. I want some Lord and Miller, Edgar Wright, Tarantino and Rodriguez, meta humor, self-referential, fake trailers, fake intermission, fake commercial break, fake post-credits. Whatever it is that you need to do, I want to see them have fun with the fact that this is a movie within a movie.
That makes a lot of sense. And I feel like the credits actually were the biggest missed opportunity because the credits came up and I'm like, well, this is a movie within a movie. I don't think Buzz Lightyear was played by Chris Evans. I think Buzz Lightyear was played by like you should have interviews with the actor playing Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
Like with like a CG Buzz Lightyear doing like interviews like, yeah, when we shot this scene, I didn't know Zurg was me or whatever.
Yeah.
Like behind the scenes stuff.
But like Chris Evans and he's animated in the style of Andy from Toy Story. Like
something like that.
It could be Chris Evans, but a digital version of Chris Evans. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun you can have. You're right. They didn't have any fun with this format. They really did just make a movie. They shoehorned in all the lines he says in Toy Story that are built into the robot.
Uh-huh.
And at the very end, they were like, we didn't make him fly, shit!
He's gotta fly, fuck!
We gotta fly real quick.
Even during the credits, they could have a fake commercial for the toy. Be like, hey kids, you enjoyed this movie? Be sure to run out and get your Buzz Lightyear action figure available right... And like, do a fake kids toy commercial.
I mean, there is a toy for Buzz in Toy Story... A commercial for Buzz in Toy Story 1 that they could have just repurposed. Not a flying toy. Mm-hmm. Like, they show you the whole commercial.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it, you cowards.
I love that. It's fun. It's fun. You're adding fun.
I'm adding fun. You're adding a lot of fun that also helps the plot of this movie.
I'm adding urgency and you're adding fun, which is a good combo.
Shields get weaker over time.
You can't just keep shooting them.
Yeah. Love it.
They're going to go down.
We've made this better. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this week. That's everything that we have to say about Lightyear. We had a lot of fun. We hope you did too. And we are going to be back next week on the podcast. Next week, we are going to be talking about Obi-Wan.
I can't wait to talk about Obi-Wan.
A lot of things to say about Obi-Wan.
Boy, Ewan, back, baby.
We'll be talking about that boy next week. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach me online at Ivamey, Ivimey.
You can reach me at Words of Diana.
And you can reach both of us at From Superheroes. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.